This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Show me a move.
Good news, everyone.
Don't you even know dignity when you see it?
Onions have legs.
Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is... I've stuffed it. I forgot to have a name ready for this week's episode. Every week I have a different name when I start the show. Totally forgot it this time, so I'm going to have to make one up on the spot. My name is Rashambo Meshuggana, and this is the inside of my mind. Of course, my real name is actually Radio Mike. Radio Michael. My friends call me Radio Michael. You can call me Radio Mike. How are ya? How the bloody hell are ya? Where the bloody hell are ya? No, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. You guys didn't ask. This is a podcast. Wow, this is off the rails already. Welcome to this podcast. I'm about to sneeze. Oh my god. Sorry, God. Well, the start of this episode has just been so chaotic. I rambled. I forgot the name. I sneezed. Wow. I hope everyone's enjoying this episode so far, because I'm not. I'm going really well, though, and this is obviously... It's obviously Radio Mike here, and this is my podcast about me. Radio Mike, a young writer, producer, and comedy-inclined person from Melbourne, Australia, trying to make his way through the rough and tumble of living life and doing the things that we people do, which can sometimes be harder than other times, but I'm getting there. Melbourne, we're out of lockdown, guys. Well done. All us Melburnians, we did it tough. We're out of lockdown again. Not really back to full 100%, but we're allowed to go out and see people now, which is good. I'm looking forward to doing that. I've got a busy week of catching up with people ahead, so it should be pretty fun. And might I just say at the top of this app that ever since we moved out of the Northcote house... Oh yeah, I was living in Northcote, and then now I'm back at mum and dad's. So it's probably been 4 weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks now since we moved back. And I just want to put it out there that, like, just the whole move back and, like, mum and dad's, like, mum and dad have... I grew up in a very small house. Like, it's not particularly very spacious. Like, I am working, I'm recording in my dad's office, like, because he works from home now. And it has been really hard, so that's why I missed a few weeks of the pod, and my YouTube content's been down, and my other pod, Harry Potter and the Boys, has been down a little bit. Like, it's just been very hard to, like, negotiate this space. My dad's been very good, obviously, but, like, he needs to work, so, you know, it's hard. And I'm looking for new places to move to with friends, so hopefully soon I'll be out of here. Not that it's a bad thing being at mum and dad's. Like, I'm not paying rent and I'm saving heaps of money. But, you know, I'm 26 and a half, guys. I want to be living in another share house or even, like, in an apartment or something like that soon. So that's kind of what I'm working towards. But I do apologize for, like, the content for the last few weeks. I feel like it hasn't been bad, but it just... I've also been very busy with work. I was burnt out. Lockdown happened and I missed a few weeks, and I was just like, I didn't even feel like I had that much to talk about. I should tell the story about the Northcote house, which I did. I printed the run sheet for the show today. Video viewers, you will see I'm holding up two A4 pieces of paper. I usually just write it on a Google Doc, but I decided to print it today. Yeah, I'll tell the story now, because we've got our bond back. We got all our money back off the rental, off the bond. Just had to bloody fight for it. But basically, I'll tell the story now. Nothing sinister or bad happened. Essentially, like, what happened was we had a few instances in which... Well, nothing. We didn't do anything sinister or bad. Basically, we had a bad agent who was looking after us, and, well, not looking after us when he should have been, and just not really observing the laws. So we would have sort of, like, the landlord would come onto the premises without us knowing, which is highly illegal, and just different things like that where we were just kind of put in tricky situations. My housemate had a dog. She had put an extra bit of money down on the bond for the dog, which isn't actually a legal requirement, but they made her do it. And when the landlord came to the house unannounced, like began questioning her about the dog, despite the fact that we had all signed a contract allowing the dog, and it's also not illegal to have a pet in the house, and she put a bond down on the dog. And then, like, a few other things of, like, basically blaming us for breaking things in the house that were always broken and were on the condition report and things like that. And then suddenly with not an applicant and were on the condition report and things like that. And then suddenly with not an adequate or legal amount of notice, we were told that our lease was not being renewed. So shorthand story is the lease was just not renewed, but the means in which that information was given to us was very, very not above the law. Like, you need to give people adequate warning and you have to have a valid reason. We were not given a reason anyway. We just didn't want to deal with it. So we were just like, let's just leave this place because it's just so annoying and I don't want to deal with it. Then when, like, we asked, when we, you know, the time to get our bond back came, they were trying to take money out of our bond. And, like, we were all talking in our group chat, all the housemates and stuff. And I just drafted up essentially this email, basically, like, maybe 4 or 5 paragraphs just outlining, hey, like, you want to take this money. Here's all the stuff you did that is actually in breach of the law. And because of this, we're not going to pay you that money. And we expect our bond back in full. And then a couple of days later, the bond was returned in full. So you got to stand your ground. It was very annoying. It was very frustrating and it was incredibly inconvenient for all of us. Like, I had to move in a rush. Like, I wasn't ready to move. And I knew I didn't have the space here at Mum and Dad's to, like, continue my work at the pace I was going. Like, even just having guests for, like, Harry Potter and the Boys, it's like, it's just a bit difficult. Like, if my dad's working in here, you know, I have to do it in times outside that and stuff like that. I don't want to inconvenience my parents. I'm pretty sure they're happy that I'm here, but I don't want to get in the way of them just doing their lives. So it's just been a bit tough. So I'm glad that people are still enjoying the pod, and I hope that, you know, now I feel like I'm kind of back in a good headspace. And I think it was important to just take a couple. I think I just missed 2 episodes or something, or 1 episode. I missed a few Harry Potter and the Boys, but I think now I'll hopefully be back. Obviously, in the next few months, I will probably be moving again. Hopefully to a place where I've got some space to put all my podcasting gear and stuff. And yeah, so hopefully it'll be a bit better, but, yeah, like it's all good. Things are going well. Do a 360, by the way, because this is the world's only winnable podcast. You do a 360 in the spot wherever you are in the world right now. And if you happen to see me, you've won the podcast. So go and give that a shot. Last week, because Melbourne was in lockdown, I specifically asked listeners of this show not to do a 360. Radio Charlie, and welcome to the radio family, Radio Charlie, he sent me a message. He said, "G'day, Mike, did not do my 360. No idea if you're in my kitchen or not." So I could have been, but he didn't win the podcast. But you could win the podcast. I was spotted at a cafe here in Kew, a cafe called Frank and Harry, which is very close to where my parents live, where I currently live. But that person did not recognize me from this show. They were just like, "Oh, you're Mike from Hamish and Andy." And I was like, yes, I am. But people just recognize my voice from that, I think, particularly from the Remembering Project where I read the sponsorships and stuff. So that was cool. So, you know, it is possible to spot me. Over the weekend as well, we stayed at a 5-star hotel just to, as a staycation kind of thing here in Melbourne. And I feel so refreshed. It was so good. Just like sometimes you just got to treat yourself. You just got to be like, let's just do this. Stayed at a 5-star hotel for the night. It was really nice. Like, we checked in really early and, like, just, you know, in the Melbourne city, and it was very good. If you ever want to do something nice, just go to a 5-star hotel. This hotel was crazy. The shower had, like, 3 shower heads. And by that, what I mean is, like, there was, like, your normal head shower head, like, head overhead shower head that goes down. And then there was one more shower head, and you can use them all individually or at the same time. One shower head at, like, boob height, like, at, like, I guess chest height or boob height. So I guess, like, if you wanted just to get some water directly sprayed onto your boobs if you wanted to. I don't know if girls bloody like that, but you know. And then one below, there was a I guess what you could call a lower body, aka a crotch shower head, right? So you get direct onto the peen and surrounding areas, or you know, if you're inclined, onto the vag. Which probably again, the girls would probably like that a bit more. I've heard stories about water. Anyway, I'm going off a bit. But yeah, that was very interesting. Really fun. Went for like a late night, midnight walk, like literally a midnight walk down the Yarra here in Melbourne. I have always said to people that Melbourne is a very, very beautiful city at night. I've always thought that if you've not been to Melbourne, there's like South Bank and the Yarra River that goes out sort of down to Richmond and, you know, down from like Richmond City, South Melbourne, South Bank. That's a very nice place to walk at night. It's very, even in winter, like the Yarra River at nighttime looks really beautiful. In the daytime, it looks disgusting. At nighttime, the water is very reflective. There's coloured lights and yeah, so just a really nice, I've always thought Melbourne was quite a beautiful city. So I really enjoyed it. I feel very refreshed now. I just feel like, yeah, I'm ready for a big week ahead and it should be really good. You can get in touch with this show anytime. RadioMikePod@gmail.com, Radio.Mike on Instagram, or just anywhere else you can find me, really. Radio Dean, welcome to the Radio Family. He said, hey, Mike, really enjoying catching your uploads on YouTube when I come across them. Is it possible for me to have an invitation to the Discord? Everyone is welcome in the Discord. If you want to join the group chat app Discord, talk to other listeners of this podcast about a bunch of topics, feel free to jump in. Also, really like when Hamish and Andy pass you the rock to have a yarn about nerdy stuff. Keep up the great work. Would love to hear from you. Thank you so much, Dean. I really appreciate that. So yeah, things are looking up. Everything's coming up, Mikey, at the moment. I did want to do a little bit of feedback from last week on, I talked all about School of Rock. Obviously, Kevin Clark, one of the lead actors from School of Rock, passed away, very sadly. I did a little tribute to that. I rewatched the film and I talked about it on last week's podcast. And I had a few messages. Radio Ashley, and welcome to the Radio Family, Radio Ashley. I know you are also an avid listener of Harry Potter and the Boys, and you're giving 20th Century Boy a shot. She said, I jumped on the School of Rock podcast. Seems I definitely have to go back to the start as I didn't get most of the references, but you're right about School of Rock. It's amazing. Well, that's great. And I realize that this podcast can possibly, especially last week's one, can be very like inward, very like you kind of have to know all the in jokes. So, you know, I try my best to explain it. Radio Shooter. Welcome to the RF, first and foremost. And obviously, if you're a long-term listener of this show, you will know the history of me and Shooter's relationship. We're a bit rocky at the moment for reasons I won't talk about on this pod. But, we're a bit rocky, but, you know, we're setting things aside because Radio Shooter sent me a nice message. Loved your pod, mate, and the tribute to School of Rock. But I loved your tribute to Kevin Clark as well. I'm a couple of years older than you, and that movie was iconic in the mid-2000s. Inspired me and so many of my other classmates to start playing instruments. And that's kind of what I was getting at in that episode of how influential that movie was to a lot of kids. I will say, Radio Shooter, I have not watched the movie Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, which is the movie that Radio Shooter is obsessed with historically on this show when he writes in. Radio Christina with a K, welcome to the Radio Family. Thank you for writing in. She talks about School of Rock the musical. Really random, but I got to sit in the front row when the musical was in Brisbane. Honestly, one of the best musicals I've ever seen because the kids on stage legitimately play their instruments and the whole stage band stood up to watch the kids on stage. That being the only show it can even happen. Yeah, and I have some video of it too because you were allowed to film it as it was a concert at the end. So that is awesome. I've not seen the School of Rock musical. I so regret not going to see it. I'm pretty sure it was in Melbourne a few years ago. I don't know why I didn't see it. Musical theatre is very expensive. It is very expensive, especially like, yeah, it's just very expensive, but I would love to see School of Rock. I've been listening to the score from the musical on Spotify and it's the songs sound really good. And it feels like it develops on the like existing lore of the School of Rock universe. Like it gives a bunch of the characters a bit more, makes them a bit more fleshed out and stuff. So I think that's really awesome. So I do want to see that eventually. I should say I didn't last week get to talk about any of the songs from the School of Rock soundtrack, and I talked about how good the soundtrack is, and I just wanted to mention a bunch of the songs that really spoke to me when I watched it that I just loved. Obviously, the major song in the film is the original song, which is doesn't have an official title, I don't believe, but I think it's commonly known as Teacher's Pet, so you'd probably know it. And then Jack Black, like, does his guitar solo. But yeah, I love that song so much. I just loved that scene in the film. And that is, it is a really well-written, like, rock song. The kicks, today's assignment, kick some ass. Today's assignment, kick some ass. I love that. And just the kids playing it and, like, Lawrence's keyboard solo and all that stuff is so good. And you kind of get to see the song developing throughout the film as well, which is great. Another song in that soundtrack that I really love is Substitute by The Who. I'm a So Substitute by The Who, great song. I really like it. And it fits into, like, the song is about I'm a substitute for another guy. Like, I think it's like a love, like a breakup song or like a rebound love kind of song. But in the film, obviously, Jack Black is a substitute teacher, but he's also a substitute. He's pretending to be a substitute teacher. So he's a substitute for another guy. Literally, he's a substitute for a substitute. So I like how that the choice of song not only fits the theme of, like, School of Rock and great rock music, but also, like, the story of the movie as well. Of course, the Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin. Everyone knows this song. Also appears in Shrek the Third. That's the only other movie I think this song appears in. But also, interestingly, the Led Zeppelin were known for never allowing their music to be in movies by at this point. So to get that song in the film, Jack Black got the entire crowd to beg, the entire crowd at the concert filmed at School of Rock to beg Led Zeppelin to use the song, and Led Zeppelin let them use the song. That was on the DVD special features. I remember it very clearly. But of course, my favorite song from the soundtrack, which happens when there's the montage of Dewey, Mr. Schneebly, teaching all the kids different ways to perform and stuff. There's this great song, which is called, it's by the Ramones. The Ramones are a great OG punk band. Like, they're a real old school punk band, and what punk really is, like, short songs, like 1 to 2 minute songs, no guitar solos, like no indulgence, just like, you know, just punk rock music. Except this one, this is one of their later songs, but go and listen to the first Ramones album. If you ever just want to listen to a great punk album that goes for like 30 minutes, listen to the first Ramones album, which is just called Ramones. This song is called Bonzo Goes to Bitburg, in brackets, My Brain is Hanging Upside Down. I think it's from one of their later albums called Animal Boy, but this song is just such an amazing song. My brain is hanging upside down. Ooh, I need something to slow me down. Ooh, yeah. I love that song. It works so well in the montage scene. And yeah, I think those are my top four songs from the School of Rock soundtrack. I'd love to know if anyone else has any that they really liked. But yeah, I realized I was talking about how good I thought School of Rock was, and because of the music especially, but I didn't at any point actually talk about any of the songs. So there you go. Those are some of the songs that are really cool. And I implore you to go and listen to that movie soundtrack, because it is just an amazing soundtrack all in all. Okay, guys, but seriously though, I have decided, I think I have decided that my favorite movie genre, my absolute favorite movie genre is horror. Like, I just think comedy movies I find very hit and miss. I don't like, really realistic movies where, like, you know, like, I don't know, what's a realistic movie? What's a Dunkirk? I've never seen it, but like, that's the vibe I mean. I'm sure it's a good movie, but I like animated movies a lot. And I like, I don't know, like fantasy movies, I don't really like, they're always a bit wanky, but horror movies, I feel like I really like, and even if they're bad, they can usually be good. And yeah, I just realized I love horror, and what I want from you guys this week, I want to know the scariest and the best horror movie you've ever seen. I want you to let me know, cause I want to watch them. Obviously, I watch, I try to watch about 15 movies a month, like one every second day, because I do a movie vlog on YouTube, Mike's Monthly Movies. They're all on YouTube. There's one every month. Please go and watch them and subscribe, by the way, Radio Mike on YouTube. But I just love horror movies. I don't know what it is. I don't get scared of them. When I was a kid, I used to be so scared of like everything. Like when I was a kid, Princess Fiona from Shrek, right? Like basically Shrek, the character, did not scare me. He was a lovable ogre. What scared the shit out of me as a kid was Princess Fiona in ogre form, because I feel like that movie came out when I was like six and my little brain could not comprehend the fact that this princess became an ogre. Like everything about that scared me. I couldn't actually watch the scenes that Princess Fiona was in. And I was actually like, I used to like go to bed and be afraid that ogre form Princess Fiona was like hiding in my room and was gonna eat me. Shrek did not scare me at all. No fear from Shrek. Lovable ogre. Ogre form Princess Fiona scared the shit out of me. And that's not like the, so many things as a kid would just frighten me. Like the Wizard of Oz, I think I've talked about this on another podcast, but like the Wizard of Oz, when I was a kid, not a scary film. I think we can all agree. You watch it as an adult. Not a scary film. Nice musical film, a classic. But for me, I don't know. All I can think is like just the absurdity of that film when I saw it as a kid, like the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the costumes are very weird. And like I feel like if it was a cartoon, it wouldn't have scared me. But like, and then the Wicked Witch of the West scared the shit out of me. Like, I reckon I had nightmares. I had a recurring dream when I was a kid about the Wicked Witch of the West. Just that green skin, black robes kind of witch with the pointed hat and broomstick scared the shit out of me. Like, I could not handle it as a kid. That whole movie, like, traumatized me. I'm like, what is going on? My child brain, my six-year-old brain, cannot comprehend these things. These things are too surreal for my brain to comprehend right now. So as a kid, used to get scared of literally everything. I remember I like had nightmares about The Mummy, that Brendan Fraser film from like 1999, scared the shit out of me. And just like, yeah, lots of movies that just weren't even scary movies would really scare me as a kid. I'm trying to think of like other things that, let me know as well, what's something as a kid that really scared you, even though you're not, you can see in adulthood that it was never supposed to be scary. It just freaked you out. There was one episode of Rugrats, actually. I remember this. I've never been able to find the episode. Like, I know it was a real episode. It's not like I'm dreaming it. I've never, like, gone and looked for it. Someone might be able to find it. This is all I really remember from it. All I remember was Chucky thinks that Chucky is, like, having dreams where his toys are like coming to life and there's like a train set that he's on the toy train. And then Tommy keeps being like, no, no, you're just dreaming it. It's a dream. And then at the end, Chucky realizes, yes, it was a dream. And then the camera like zooms out and shows that the toy train in the room is in the same positions it was in the dream. And it's like this horrific ending where you're like, oh my God, it was real the whole time. Scared the shit out of me. If someone can figure out what episode that was, that's vaguely what I remember happening in the episode. Someone can figure it out, let me know. That scared the shit out of me as a kid. So many of just those ABC kids shows would scare me. Now, in adulthood, nothing scares me. Like, movies do not scare me because I'm just like, I guess I'm just a cynic. I'm very cynical and realistic, in my opinion, about, I don't believe in any supernatural, paranormal stuff. I've never had any experiences with it. If you believe that something like that is real, I'd love to hear from you. Personally, I don't. I don't believe that, like, in any of that stuff, ghosts, ghouls, poltergeists, demons, spirit, like, all that shit, I do not think is real at all. I never will. I just, you know, I ground myself in reality. And so I think because of that, I'm just never scared of movies. Like, I like watching them, and sometimes I'm unsettled. Like, and that's what I like that unsettling love, like, ooh, ooh. If you're watching the video, like, watch my face. Ooh, ooh, right? I do that. Ooh, that's unsettling. But, like, I watch horror movies with people and they, like, look away like they can't watch, but I'm just, like, glued to the screen because I just want to see it. And so I think that's why, like, just that feeling of unsettling, I can't get from any other film. Like, that, oh, that's so creepy. Oh, like, that's so weird, and gets me thinking about stuff. Anyway, I watched a lot of horror movies over, like, I can watch them by myself as well. I watched a lot of horror movies during lockdown, and I watched this horror movie called Midsommar, directed by Ari Aster, who also directed the film Hereditary, which is another scary movie. Midsommar, I am sorry to horror fans out there. Midsommar, one of the creepiest and most unsettling films I've ever seen in my life. If you've seen it, let me know what you think. I'm very interested to know, because this movie was just fucked. Just one second, guys. I've got the heater on in this room, but it is getting way too hot, and I don't think I can continue the podcast with the heater on. So just I'm just going to walk off the mic. I'll just keep talking to you while I'm doing it, so you know. Sorry, guys. All right, I'm walking across the room. I've just turned the heater off. Hang on. All right, it's off. So it should cool down. I think it's going to be better, and I'm back. Sorry about that. I didn't want to just pause the pod, so just, you know, a live turning off the heater. So if you haven't seen Midsommar, I want to talk about it a lot. The premise of the film is basically these teenagers go to this Swedish folk festival, traditional family folk festival. That's like they're friends with this Swedish guy. He's like, oh, you should come to Sweden and come to my family's folk festival. And they do a bunch of psychedelic drugs. And basically throughout the film, you realize that this Swedish folk festival, like, this guy's family is a cult, like a fucked up cult. And they do a bunch of fucked up stuff. And there's one point in the film where basically in the movie, when you turn 72 in this cult or in this, you know, whatever it is, when you turn 72, you die, like, you sacrifice yourself to the gods or whatever. And so they carry the 72-year-olds up this hill, and the 72-year-olds have to jump off this cliff and land on a pointy rock. And it's so graphic. Like, they show everything, like the faces colliding with the rock. And it's like, it's not a gory film. Like, there is those bits of gore where you see, like, their heads caved in and one of them survives and they have to smash his head in with a hammer. It is so fucked. It's crazy. And all these teenagers, like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? What is this? And they just keep getting roped into the cult. And it turns out, well, I won't spoil anything else, but, like, it gets pretty sinister. And the last few scenes, like, a lot of this movie, it's one of those movies where, like, so many scenes, you're just like, what am I watching? Like, what is this? What is going on? This is crazy. And it was like 11 o'clock on one night, and I couldn't sleep. So I was like, oh, this movie's 2.5 hours. Maybe I'll just watch it for like an hour and I'll fall asleep. But I watched it 2.5 hours. I was up to like 1:30 and I was glued to the screen. I was like, what is this? If you've seen it, I'd like to know. If you know any other films that you recommend in the horror genre, I'd love for you to know. But I want to talk about horror movies. Mainly, so here's the ones that I've seen and I really like for different reasons. So the first Friday the 13th movie, I think, is essential. It's got a really great style. It's very voyeuristic. Like, the camera almost serves as the killer. Like, the way the camera watches people. Little bit gory, but not too much. And it's like, it's like, you might have seen Halloween, which was like this major original kind of slasher film, but it's very tame compared to Friday the 13th, which was highly derivative of Halloween. But I really enjoyed the first Friday the 13th. And then the first Saw movie is actually a very good movie. If you're not into like horror, torture porn and gore, because there's lots of different types of horror. There's like slasher and gore, blood and guts horror, psychological horror. And then there's like, you know, kids horror films like Goosebumps and Haunted Mansion and stuff. But Saw is a great horror film with a really good twist. If you haven't seen Get Out, that movie, again, similar to Midsommar, that movie is a very disturbing film. Like, you just watch it and you're like, well, I can't believe this stuff. With a bit of comedy in it. That's definitely got more comedic elements than Midsommar, but Get Out and Us by the same director, both of those I thought were really good, but I think Get Out is much better. Me and my friends, when we finished high school, got very into the Paranormal Activity franchise, which was like, Paranormal Activity, I feel like, really was a boom in the found footage kind of genre. Like, it really exploded that genre, I think. Like, Blair Witch Project, I think, was before it, but Paranormal Activity was a really successful film, and it was very scary at the time. They turned it into like a franchise with like 7 movies, and I've seen them all, and they're all just the same movie every time. But that first one, I feel like, was really novel in what it did. Like, I don't think people had really seen it before, and they presented it as if it was it had really happened. And when you're a kid, you kind of believe that. So I think I saw it when I was like 14 for the first time and then watched all the others. But so Paranormal Activity, I really liked. It Chapter 1 with Pennywise, the clown, I thought was pretty scary as well, but a little bit more tame than some of the others, but I did really think that was scary. And then probably the most fucked up one, which I remember just, it went viral at the time that it came out, was The Human Centipede, which I don't think was a very good movie at all, but I do remember, I have seen it, and I do remember the whole time I saw it, I was like, that unsettling feeling of like, this is just insane. Like, how do you make this film and conceive it and make it? And like, the depravity of what happens in that movie is just so disturbing. Like, if you don't know, and I remember when the trailer came out for this, I was in like maybe year 11 at school, and everyone was watching it and talking about it and like, what the fuck? But basically this surgeon kidnaps 3 people and sews them together butt to mouth. So, and then like forces them to like be his pet. And it is just so disturbing. But like, if you want a movie that will just disturb you to watch, like, that movie is just so disturbing. Just absolutely crazy, I think. So I love horror. I've seen a bunch more, but those are the ones that really came to mind when I was trying to think of like the scariest or like the best horror films. But I'd love for you guys to send in movies that you thought were really scary. Some are really bad. We watched one the other night called The Right on Netflix, which was so boring and terrible. But even classic horror films, I'd like to try. Because, yeah, I just love them. And I think about them a lot. And they creep me out a lot. So please send them in. Speaking of cults, though, if we go back to Midsommar, when I was watching it, it reminded me of this story that happened to me, which was... Well, I'm glad it didn't turn into a Midsommar, because like when I went to Japan, like in 2017, I went with 3 of my best mates from high school, Dan, Tom, and Harry. Tom is T-Money, who, if you're a long-term listener of this pod, you will probably know of T-Money. So when we were in Japan, one of the days we were there, we decided it might be a fun idea. And we were there in January, middle of winter in Japan, very cold winters. And we thought, let's go to like see Mount Fuji up close, the biggest mountain in Japan. And we went to, we basically took a bus out to this really small town. I can't remember the name, that was like close to Mount Fuji. And you could see Mount Fuji very clearly. We went there. Arrived, total ghost town. It was very creepy because like there were like traffic lights and everything, but like it was covered in snow, snowy town, buildings, but no people really around outside of like the bus stop lobby that we were dropped off at. And like nothing really there, like traffic, like pedestrian crossing lights triggering on and off, but no one really around except for us. And we were just walking around. We end up in this like forestry shrub kind of area, lots of forest. And we realize we're just like, we're lost. We've just gotten lost. It's okay because we got heaps of time, but eventually we need to get back to the bus stop to go home. But we got time, but we don't want to get stuck here. We're lost in this forest area, kind of making a joke out of it. And then we were like walking around for a while, just chatting, having fun still, but knowing we were lost. And then like, this happened. So suddenly, and keep like, it was a ghost town. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're off track. Suddenly, like, we're coming back to, like, we find, like, a road, so we're back on this road. And then literally, almost as if she appeared out of nowhere, this old grandma Japanese woman appears. I would say she was, like, 75, that kind of age group. Grey hair, very short, Japanese woman, nothing threatening about her. The only, like, ominous thing was just, the fact that she was there. Like, we were just like, oh. And she looked at us and started speaking Japanese, and we just were like, oh no, we don't understand. We don't know. And we're lost. And then she basically like gestured to us to like follow her. And we were like, oh, well, like we might as well, because like, we don't really know where we are. And we couldn't get Google Maps or like GPS because we were so far out. There was no service, right, for our internet on our phones. So we just followed this woman, and we followed her for maybe like 5 minutes. She was in front of us. We just followed her. And then she took us to like this big, like what I would say was like the size of like half a soccer pitch, big open space, or maybe a full soccer pitch size area. And just all these people like dressed in black, just standing there talking, which isn't that insidious or ominous or weird, except for the fact that it was quite a deserted town. And this was just like this open space in the middle of like a foresty kind of area. And I remember we were just like, what is this? And then she kept saying to us, mitte, mitte, which we later found out means in Japanese to look or to watch. So she wanted us to look or watch. But anyway, we were there. We just sort of stood there for like 2 or 3 minutes, and everyone, there was just people just talking. And then we were just like, I think someone was just like, look, we don't know what this is. We need to get back to the bus stop. I'm sure there's nothing sinister about this, but we just need to leave. So we all start walking away, and like the woman was just like looking at us as we left and like didn't really say anything. But we just started walking away. Luckily, we all survived. And like, it could have been nothing, but sometimes I do think back to that and I'm like, I think we may have stumbled across like a Japanese death cult, and she was trying to lure us in and sacrifice us. But maybe that's just my anxiety. But like, I don't know. There was something kind of weird about that whole thing. It was just a weird, weird experience, I think. So when I was actually planning this episode, and I was like, oh, I'll tell once I talk about Midsummer, I'll talk about the Japan death cult thing that I thought I was in. I had this memory of like when we were in Japan, T-Money again. Classic kind of member of the show's legacy. One of my best friends from high school. T-Money would, he was doing this like shit meme the whole trip, in which wherever we were in Japan, whatever we were doing and wherever we were, he would basically just do, it must have been Snapchat, because it was like 2017 where Snapchat was much bigger than Instagram. And he would just do a panorama of like whatever, wherever we were. And then on that panorama, he would put the song Chameleon by P-Now, which was a big song at that time. If you haven't heard the song Chameleon with P-Now, it's this song. You probably have heard it. It's this one. So like, imagine just like every day for like 4 weeks, T-Money just has a panorama of some place in Japan with this song as the background. Really, really shit meme, right? Just gonna fade it. And like, I don't even know how. The thing with T-Money is, and he's a great friend of mine, he just always will just come up with some shit meme, and he'll just do it without explaining it. Like, he'll just keep doing it. So he just never explained why he was doing this, but he just was doing it. And what I want, this was like 4 or 5 years ago now. I just wanted to call T-Money and just start, like, start playing the song and just see what he does and see, like, if he remembers this meme as well as I do. So I'm going to punch in his number now. Going to give him a call. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, hang on. I haven't connected to the Bluetooth on the Rodecaster Pro, which is what I use to record this pod. Shout out to Rodecaster if you want to give me any freebies. All right, he should be good now. Let's see how we go. All right, here we go. It's ringing. It's ringing, guys. It's ringing.
0437.
I won't give away his number. Let's just try it one more time because that was a quick. Yeah, it's ringing more times this time, so he might pick it up. Okay, it's ringing. As you can hear, it's ringing. It's ringing. It's ringing, guys. All right, it's ringing.
Oop. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah,
I'm good. Hey, I want to play you a song, and I want your immediate reaction to it, okay?
All right.
All right, here you go. So, okay, so you do remember the song?
Yeah, who doesn't? It was an iconic song of the 2000s. When did that song come out? 2017?
Yeah, and what? When was the? When do you think was your peak listenership of this song? And what? Do you remember what? When you were using it a lot?
Yeah, it would have been January 2018. It was a Japan trip.
And what
I feel like it summed up pretty much every moment of Japan.
Why do you think that that song summed up Japan for you?
It's a good panorama song, really.
It's a good panorama song. So, I was just explaining to the listeners because I was telling the story which you would remember of when. Do you remember when that old Japanese woman appeared when we were near Mount Fuji and like took us to that oval with all those people? And
and there was like a burning. Something burning?
Yeah, there was a burning. I forgot to mention there was a burning. They were burning stuff, and we were just like, "Oh, we're about to be human sacrifices for a death cult."
Everyone was wearing red armbands as well. And we're like, oh, great, cool.
You remember it way better than I remember it. But, yeah, and then it just got me remembering that whole trip every day, wherever we were, you would just do a panorama and put this song over it.
No idea what the words are.
And why, can I ask, like, what made you, never explained to anyone on the trip why you were doing that. Like, why were you doing it?
I think I had grand plans at the beginning of the trip to do, like, a, throughout the whole song, like, slowly panoramaing. You see those things on TikTok these days?
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool. Yeah. I was a bit ahead of the game there.
Yeah.
But then I only ever used that certain part of the song.
Yeah, you only
used the first... editing or doing all the editing.
So it was basically... All right, so in tribute of T-Money, listeners, and the 27... It was actually 2017 we went to Japan, T-Money, not 2018.
Good year.
In tribute to that, this week I would like everyone to do a story or anything on Instagram or Snapchat... Film a panorama shot of wherever you are. Oh, Tom's just hung up. I don't know why. I'll get him back on the line. Get him back on the line while I explain this. But film a panorama of wherever you are. Sorry, Tom, we lost you there for a sec.
It must be our cutoff.
Yeah, this is chaos. Yeah. So the listeners are going to film a panorama of wherever
you are. It's a really good panorama song.
And just what were you going to say?
Get a background. It's got to be pretty.
Yeah, if you're going for a hike or a walk,
of a panorama.
Or even if you're just at uni or at work, just do a panorama of wherever you are. Go up to Sounds, do Chameleon by P-Dow. Make sure it's the first, it literally has to be the start, this bit, and just send it to me, tag me in it, and I'll compile them for T-Money and we'll make that for him. Do you reckon you have any of those saved on your phone still?
Oh, definitely.
I'll have him somewhere. Do you actually?
I'll shoot him through.
If you find them,
I've got about four or five.
Yeah, if you find them, please send them through so I can show everyone. All right, T-Money, and next week we'll get you on the show because also you sent me a text a few weeks ago saying Monday, 24th of May, poop schedule has completely changed since changing jobs. Amazing how the human body adapts so quickly. So we'll get an explanation of that next week if that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's a fully different thing. It'll take a while.
All right. See you, T-Money.
See you, man.
So there you go. Send your panoramas with Chameleon by P-Dow. Couple more things before we finish. This is going to be maybe a longer episode, but that's fine because last week's was shorter. All right. First and foremost, maybe I do this thing next week. I'm going to leave that for next week, guys, because we've had a lot of music-based stuff this week, but there's another music thing I want to do. And also, all this stuff is going to get copyright flagged on YouTube, but that's okay. Let's just not make any money off the podcast as normal. Guys, I want to talk about, this will be the last segment, I want to talk about KFC's marketing strategy. KFC's marketing strategy, right? If you're from Australia, I assume these are national ads, they must be. If you're from Australia, you will know that KFC is currently and has for some time been running ads that essentially revolve around the song I Love It by Icona Pop. Like, I don't care, I love it, right? And basically the premise of the ad, well, I've got one here. It basically, something awkward happens and then the person in the ad says this.
Did someone say KFC?
And then that song starts playing, right? So basically, the premise of the ad, something happens, the person says, did someone say KFC? And then it just cuts to them all eating KFC, and it's like, I don't care, I love it. And I just wanted to right here, congratulate the marketing manager of KFC, because you have, with this ad, captured every single person's exact relationship to KFC, because everybody knows that KFC, it is finger-licking good. KFC tastes amazing. The chicken tastes so good. But everybody knows that after you have KFC, you feel like shit. You feel absolutely terrible after you have KFC every time, without doubt. I love KFC. Every time I have it, I feel crap. It tastes great. The aftermath is always horrible. And what I think has happened in like the marketing, you know, someone at KFC is like, we need a new marketing campaign. How do we capture what KFC is? And this guy who's come up with this campaign goes, well, you know, what do you think what happens when someone's like, hey, should we get KFC? Well, someone almost always will probably be like, oh, KFC is good. Like, I like KFC, but it's like so unhealthy and you just feel like crap after you eat it. And then this marketing manager goes, great. And in with one song, he has summed up every response to that, which is, I don't care, I love it. And that is every single person's response to KFC. Should we get KFC? Nah, it's unhealthy. I don't care, I love it. Wow. I just think it's marketing genius that he was like, that song. Could have been any song, but he chose a song that literally just sums up. That song could have been written about KFC. I got this feeling on the summer day when you were gone. Summer day, great for KFC. You were gone. Possibly KFC was closed down in the local area. I grabbed my stuff and pushed it down the stairs. Possibly not related to KFC. I threw your shit into a bag and pushed it down the stairs. I think that's there. I crashed my car into the bridge. I don't care, KFC. I think it's that. Yeah, anyway, I think that song's perfect. I have noticed, though, that rival burger chain, and we did have last year or earlier in the year, maybe we were talking about the Big Mac and the Big Jack, where Hungry Jack's was bringing out a burger called the Big Jack and throwing shade over at McDonald's about the Big Mac. Grilled is doing a similar thing to KFC. Take a listen to this ad I saw.
Did someone say MSG? MSG.
Yeah. There's MSG in KFC and something called tripolyphosphate of sodium and silicon dioxide 551.
How interesting is that? Grilled, throwing shade at KFC for their MSG, right? pretty serious stuff. And one thing I will say, and, you know, I'll probably leave the podcast just after this, but as in this episode will finish, but I want to put it out there to Grilled, and people are not going to like this. This could lose a lot of listeners. But Grilled, I just want to say, I have never enjoyed your food. I have never had a good burger from Grilled. I don't like any of the burgers there. Your chips are covered in this weird herb that makes them taste shit. And you're just not a very nice place to eat. I'm sorry, but Grilled burgers are terrible. I don't think they're healthy. Grilled's thing is healthy burgers. I don't think they're very healthy. I'm sure they're healthier than KFC, but I don't think they're very healthy. And Grilled, no offense, but I absolutely hate the thing where you give people the bottle cap after they order and they have to choose a charity out of three charities to donate to, because I think it's sadistic that Grilled pits charities against each other in that way. Just saying, Grilled. Just saying. I've never liked your burgers. I think your burgers are crap and your food is crap. I've never enjoyed them. I will go with friends because a lot of my friends seem to really like Grilled, but I personally have never enjoyed you. And yeah, unfortunately that's the truth. I would be careful about throwing shade at KFC because look, your food's not that good. Guys, we're just about done here. I do want to do a couple things in this segment here. The plug. Okay, the plug, where I just plug everything. The first thing I want to plug is related to this podcast. The YouTube channel, please subscribe. We just crossed 1,200 subscribers, which is awesome. Thank you so much. I remember we were stuck on like 400 for ages, but I'll have a bunch of content. If you're into like gaming and pop culture, which I know a lot of listeners of this show are, some aren't, which is totally fine, but I'll be doing a bunch of stuff for E3 and reacting, and I'll probably be staying up for a few of the nights to watch a bunch of the E3 conferences. So if you want to join on a live stream or just be in the Discord chatting, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do that with you. Next up, there is a Harry Potter and the Boys YouTube channel. Really trying to get that to 100 subscribers so I can do a custom URL for it. It's hard to find at the moment, but if you go to the Radio Mike YouTube channel, On the front page of the Radio Mike YouTube channel, if you scroll down to the bottom, you can find the Harry Potter and the Boys channel as well. I'm just looking at it now. So that's there. There's also a Radio Mike podcast clips channel, which I do want to utilize a bit more. But yeah, we'll see how we go with that. I do want to try and utilize it more. But please check out my YouTube. Bunch of like Mike's movie vlog. There's a bunch of pop culture nerdy kind of videos there. I'm a bit of a nerd. Ladies, you love it. No, you probably don't. And then Harry Potter and the Boys will be back this Wednesday. Zach Miller is joining me, one of my really, really good friends, so I'm excited to have him back. And there's four chapters left of the first book of Harry Potter and the Boys, so there's four episodes left. So if you haven't sort of caught up, all the YouTube for Harry Potter and the Boys is now up to date. You can see all the episodes there, or just podcast it. Leave a review of this pod. We do accept 5 or 4-star reviews, nothing below 4. You have to give that to another pod. Please leave a review and tell your friends about the pod. Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project is still running. I'd love for you to go and listen to them. I pop up a little bit in there. Finding a Unicorn, the sex and dating podcast I sometimes chat on a bit, is still up. So I would love for you to do that. If you watched Married at First Sight, we have an episode this week with Pat from Married at First Sight, who was really nice. That is pretty much it. RadioMike.com.au. Pick up some merch and some stickers. Patreon.com/RadioMike, of course. But that is about all. My name's been Radio Mike. Oh, the Patreons. I do need to thank all the Patreons. I will just very quickly do that. Patreons. This is the Patreon song. This is the Patreon song. The Patreon song. I am looking for the Patreon. Here they are. Okay. Sorry, guys. That was the Patreon song. Patreon, Radio Gannon Bort, Christina with a K, Labrini, Pat Hamilton, Reese Hawker, Alex Skye, Danny Williamson, Scott Izzard, Dr. Nick, Georgina Lemming, Liz Jeffrey, Freya, Ryan K, Kyle Scott, Nathan Little, Adam Aiken, Cartier Fenton. Thank you for getting on the Patreon. You get your name read out at the end of every episode. My name's been Radio Mike. This podcast has been the inside of my mind. Don't block the MDF. I'm a very kind young man and some of your older staff could learn a lot from me. Don't lie to me because I'll see you in the Dream Factory tonight. William Kennedy, finish your farm project, mate. I'm getting sick of this shit. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next week. Bye-bye. Woohoo! And I feel heavy metal. Woohoo! Do 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 do. I don't know why I started singing song two by Blur right now. The podcast is over. Do 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 do. Woohoo! See you later, guys. I don't know why I did that. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content, stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram, and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.